Begin the current daf, Sifah Mes, daf Lamed Beis. We begin four lines down from the top of the Omer, where the Gemara continues with the discussion of the previous daf. Specifically, we had a Mishnah which introduced a new chiddush of halacha regarding the halachas of Yibum, which spoke about a case of when you have three brothers and each one is married to an unrelated woman. When one brother dies, then the second brother went and only gave a mimer. So that the Tanakhama said that if the second brother then dies in that state, the third brother cannot do yibum to either one. He has to do chalitza and not bimiyab. And the reason is because the second one has created in this widow of the first one into a woman that has two zikas, which is she still has the zika of Reuben because Shimon never consummated that zika, never did yibum, and neither did he do chalitza. He just did a mimer. But yet he also created his own Zika now because he does have somewhat of a relationship. She is somewhat a widow of Shimon because she was, let's say, engaged to him through the Mimer. And then says, as the Tanakhama brought a pasuk, which the Gemara said is actually only a smachta, actually it's a rabbinic concern. Therefore, but however, that's halacha of Beis Yevamin. The halacha is you can only have one Zika. Umeis Echad Mehem, that's like we have two Zikas. And therefore, the fact that he gave a Mimer creates a situation we have to chalitza to them and not to yim to them. Now that the Gemara brings out Amar Rava. Rava is going on the case of the Mishnah, but with a twist, and that creates the following halacha, where the Gemara is going to bring two versions of this. He says, if Nasan, let's say this second brother, we'll call him Shimon, the one who made the Mimer and the wife of Reuven, if he gives a get l'mamore, he gives a get. Now, as Rashi explains specifically, as the Gemara is explaining, a Yavam could give a get to Yavama. Now, it could do two things. It could either do, in general, for the Zika, which halachically, biblically, doesn't really work, but rabbinically, that would create a problem of that you already started destroying this bias by giving a get, hence that would create problems with the Zika and you wouldn't be able to do Yibim anymore. Or you could do like the case that Rav is describing, he's not giving a get for the Zika, for the original bond that there was from the halacha of Yibim. He's just doing a get, which is again a rabbinic halacha, for this Maimer, which is another rabbinic halacha. Because he just wants to undo the Maimon that he did. He doesn't want to remove the whole Zika that was there. He just wants to, I know I started the process with that Maimon, I just want to undo that start, but let's go back to first base. So he does this get for the Maimon only, and then he dies. And that is what Rav is saying. Now the halacha is going to change from the halacha of our Mishnah. That is Hutra, now his original wife, the original wife of Shimon, will be permitted, who is the Tzarasa, who is the co-wife of that original wife of Reuven, to have Yibim to the third brother, we'll call him Levi. And the reason is, the whole reason of the halacha of our Mishnah was that Mimer made the original wife of Shimon like a co-wife of this Erva type of woman, because she has this, again, a rabbinic Erva, because she has the Zika of two Yavamin. But now that he gave a get for that Mimer, he removed that Mimer, and therefore he doesn't have any relationship with the widow of Reuven, and therefore his original wife is not a tzara of this what would be a quasi-Erva. Now, and therefore, that also removes, as the Gemara had explained in the previous stop, that really the whole halacha of having Zika of two Yevamim, of being a widow from two husbands, is only rabbinic halacha, which was that it would seem that you have taking two Yevamim from one bias, which one you're going to do chalitza to, one you're going to do yibim to. But here, they don't even look at all like they're coming from one bias, because everyone sees that he gave a get to remove that mimer, thus moving that wife back to Reuven. And that's Shimon having his own wife. And therefore, Levi could do Bia, could have Yibum with the original wife of Shimon. However, Aval, but what Rava says in the first version is that he has Surah. However, the original wife of Reuven, the one that he had done Mimer to, is going to be forbidden. Now, as Rashi clarifies, it's not because he gave a get to her. Now, what a get generally does to Yavama, it makes her into Lo Yivna, and therefore it invalidates her for all the brothers. Because once you give a get, you already started not building. Once, as the Gemara explains other places, that once you start not building, you can't build anymore. That's not true, as Rashi says. Because here he's not giving the get for the Zika to start destroying the original bond. Rather, he was doing it to undo the Mimer. So then, if we're saying that's why Shimon's wife is permitted, so why isn't Ruby's wife permitted to have Yibum with Levi? That's only because the Mechlefo Babalas get. Because she'll get confused. This woman who has the get only for her mimer will get confused with a regular Yavama when he's giving the get for both the mimer and the Zika. And therefore, for sure, the wife of Reuven, who ended up getting a mimer from Shimon, even though he gave a get to her, will be rejected. But again, since the get that he's giving is only for the Maimer, it's only going to be undoing the Maimer, and therefore the original Azika is there, thus allowing the Levi to do Yibum to Shimon's original wife, because she's not a Tzara of that Eved. It doesn't even seem like that it's two Yevamim from one bias, because as we explained, he's only doing the get to the Maimer, and thus removing the wife of Levi, and that he has no the wife of Reuben, and he doesn't have a relationship with her. Ikadami, that those that say a second version, that actually Amar Rava, Rava went all the way in this, and he said that if Nosen get l'mamare, again, in the case of our Mishnah, where he had given a Maimer, thus creating a, which again we called it Zikas Bez Yevomen, but as we explained in the Gemara, it's really a rabbinic concern that if you're going to do Yibum to the wife of Shimon, it might look like that she's the Tzara of this seeming Erva, which is like, because it seems like that they're both Yevomen of one bias, so hence you can't do Yibum to both. But the problem is you can't let them go either without, because maybe they're really from two different batim, so you have to do chalitza to them and not yibum. Here, hutra filihi. He actually says that when you give the get to the one who you had given a maimer to, the wife of Reuben, not only is Shimon's original wife going to be permitted, as we explained the first version, but he would even allow when Shimon ultimately dies, to allow the original wife of Reuben to Levi. Now that the Gemara is my time. Huh? So that's as we explained, because my de'ovet bashakli, what he did to her, to the original Yevamah, the wife of Reuven, he took that away. So it's like he had never made a Maimer. So therefore, now Levi, the third brother, can go ahead and do Yimtar because of the original Zika that was there from Reuven. Now again, like Rashi clarifies, it must be talking about these cases, these two versions of Rava, that he specified, I'm giving her the get just for the Maimer that I did, but not for the original Zika. But generally, if one would just give a get, so then that would already create this original Yevama in the Isra of Lo Yivna on all the brothers, as Rashi brings a raya from the Gemara later on, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, where that would be if, as Rav is explaining here, we only gave the get for the Maimer and not for the Zika, that is what he had been giving to the Balas Maimer, that's the get that he's giving. That's the only way we have this understanding of these two versions of Rava, where again the get was just for the Maimer, and therefore removes it, and therefore, according to the first version, Levi could do Yibum to the wife of Shimon, and according to the second version, he could even do Yibum to the original wife of Reuven, because you're back to square one, and therefore there's no problem, because it wasn't the Zikas of Beis Yevamah. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on the theme of all the previous Mishnayos regarding when you have brothers that are married to two sisters. But here the Mishnah will introduce a different halacha. Shnei Achen, if you have two brothers, Nisuin shtei achayis that are married to two sisters. Umeis echem mehem, now one of them dies. Now, that would make the other, there's no nefila for Yibum to the other brother, because the Yevama here is achayis ishtai. But, v'achkach meisa ishtai shalsheni. So everyone's, no one did anything yet. And in the interim, the wife of the second remaining brother, that other sister, she dies. So that the Mishnah says, still harizu asura lavei lamas. The Yevama is will always be forbidden for him. And the reason is, since she was forbidden for him for one moment, meaning when the nefila happened, when she says, okay, my husband died, and he says, oh, what do you want me to do? You're achay sishta, you're an erva. So then she retains that isra eshasach. There's no heter of yibum because she's an erva. So even if later his wife dies and now she's not achay sishta anymore, it doesn't make a difference. She's like an eshasach shesh lebonim. Now that the Gemara asks on this halacha of our Mishnah, pshita, it's pretty obvious. And it's even a kol shekein, because hashta, if we find, uma hasam, if over there in the Mishnah on daf lamed of an alf, where there the case was talking about, you have three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, and one of them is married to an unrelated woman. Then the case over there said that if one of the brothers who's married to one of the sisters dies, and then the one who's married to the unrelated woman, we'll call him Levi, marries that wife, meaning the widow of one of those married to the sisters, and then subsequently the wife of one of the other brothers who was married to the other sister dies, then the one who was married to the unrelated woman, then he dies. So on that, the Mishnah said that the original widow of Reuven, who we have Reuven and Shimon married two sisters, and Levi was married to the unrelated woman. So when Reuven died, Levi did Yibum, and then after Levi did Yibum, then Shimon's wife, the other sister, dies. The Mishnah there said that even when Levi dies, and it's no more achay sishta because Shimon's wife, who was the other sister, died, still she'll be forbidden for him because of eshazach. And the reason is, as it says over there, because at the first nefila, when Reuven first died, she was forbidden to Shimon because then his wife was still alive and she was achay sishta. So though that by the second nefila, she wasn't any Machais Ishta, it will be forbidden forever. Now, what the Gemara's question is, now that case of the Mishnah Daf Lamed, where in that first Nefila, when this wife of Reuben was forbidden to Shimon, it wasn't a total rejection of her Zika. And the reason is, because Levi was still around, who was married to an unrelated woman. So there was still a Zika for her Yibum, which was by pertaining by that first Nefila, because you could entertain Yevami of Elal by Levi. And yet in spite of that, we consider the wife of Reuben regarding Shimon, who is married to the sister, like she's a Eishes Ach Shesh Labanim, to make her forbidden even after that subsequently his wife will die. So if you say over there, Delay Mitchem Ahai Beis Legamri, where she wasn't rejected totally from this house, meaning from her husband, her dearly departed husband's brothers, because there was still at least another brother that Yibum could be done with. And yet Amrit Lo'i, still you said that regarding one of the brothers, even though Zika was still here, but since for him it wasn't around anymore, so even by the Nefilah Shnia, she's still going to be Eshach Shish Labanim. So the Gemara's question is, so Hacha, over here in our Mishnah, that if during the Nefilah, the Komitchim Mehai Beis Lagamri, where she's totally rejected from this house, meaning there's the only brother around is the one that's married to her sister. And therefore, at the time when the Nefilah happens, there's no more Zika at all because there's no other brother like there was in the previous Mishnah of Levi, like Kalshken. Isn't it definite that there for sure she's rejected forever? There's not even a Zika around. So of course she's going to be Nesoy Lavar Lamas. What do we need to say this Mishnah if we have the previous Mishnah, which is even a bigger Chiddush? So the Gemara answers you right. Tana, the Tana who authored these Mishnayas, Ha, our Mishnah over here was Tana Bereisha. This he first authored this as an Isser. Now, however, contrast that with Vahach, the previous Mishnah Daf Lamed, when there were three brothers, where you're right, as we said, that she wasn't totally rejected from this house, meaning from the brothers of her husband that died, because there was still Levi, who she was not an heir to. So actually, Chazya, the Tana originally saw that this should be Lehet Teira, the Mishnah Daf Lamed would be to permission, and Vishari actually permitted it. And that's why he didn't mention that originally the Mishnah Daf Lamed wasn't offered by him that it should be permitted. And actually he thought that it should be Asr, because he actually thought that it's going to be permitted. That will not be considered Nesri Lava Lamas, because her Zika was still there. So though there was a halt that because it was a Chais Ishtai, but since that Zika was never totally rejected, when she falls from the second time, she's actually going to be permitted. However, but then the Tana saw that, no, it should be forbidden. Because as we said, ultimately, for that brother, we'll call him Shimon, at that Nefila, it wasn't pertaining to Yevami Yavei Elav. So although there was still her Zika was still extant, and for a different brother, but for him she wasn't. And therefore, subsequently, she will always be considered Eishah Akshah Zabanim for him. It's more individualistic. Now, so, however, since the halacha on the Mishnah Daf Lamed was more dear to the Tana, and that's because it was a Chiddush. Originally, he thought it actually would be permitted. But then he thought, wait a second, although there's still Zika, and she's not like Eishah Akshah Labanim, but for him she is. So therefore, Akhtama, as we find throughout Shah, something that's dearer is mentioned first. Now, however, Mishnah, the original Mishnah, which is our Mishnah, which seems superfluous now, however, since it was the originally taught Mishnah, so it doesn't get moved from its place. In other words, we don't not teach it anymore. And therefore, we retain it in the text, in the corpus of the Mishnayos. But you're right, once we told you the Mishnah Daf Lamed, we don't have to tell you the Mishnah over here to teach that halacha of Nesar Lover Lamas, because of over there, where she's not totally rejected, it's still for that brother going to be Nesar Lamas. For sure, over here in this Mishnah, it's going to be Nesar Lover Lamas again, but we only kept it because it was the originally taught Mishnah, and although we introduced a later one and thus said it first, this still remains. Now, regarding the case of the Mishnah, the Gemara introduces the following machloikis tanoim. Taiwan ulin abraisa. Bo'oleha. If let's say, as we said, there's two brothers married to two sisters, and then one of the brothers died. So our Mishnah said that then this other brother's wife died. However, the braisa says, if let's say the brother goes ahead and has relations with his brother's wife who died without any children, but his wife is still alive. So on that, the first Tana says, well, first of all, you're going to be liable for the Isra of your brother's wife. And the reason is because although he died without any children, but the Torah exempted when she's an Erva, which is what this case is, she's a Chais Isha, from Yibam. Hence, the violation, the Isra of Eishasach is still there, and that's he's liable as if she has children. Moreover, not only will you be liable for it's your brother's wife, because you don't have a heter of Yibam, but you're also going to be liable for the Isra of Chayisisha, it's your wife's sister. That's the Rebbe Yosi. You're going to be liable for both of these ervas. Shimon Aimer, he argues, he says, Ein chayv el mishum eisha sach bavad. Actually, the only erva you're going to be liable for is that it's your brother's wife, as the Gemara will explain the reasoning. But before the Gemara does that, the Gemara asks, but Vatani, we have in a different brisa, the Rebbe Shimon Aimer, he says, although he in this brisa, he also agrees that you'll only be liable for one, not both, but he says it in a different version. He says, Ein chayv el mishum achos eisha bavad. Here he says, not that you'll be liable only for your brother's wife, here he says you'll only be liable for your wife's sister. So which one is it? I think Gemara says, like Kasha, it's not a difficulty because it actually depends. Khan, the second brisa that says you're only liable for achos eisha, was talking about the following order. Shenosachai, the first one, there's two sisters married to two brothers, so who married who first? So the second brisa was talking about that the living one, meaning we call the Yavim the living one because he's still alive, he married his wife, that sister, first. And only after he married that sister did the now dead brother marry the other sister. Hence, in sequence, the Isra Achis Isha on the Yavama was first, because he had first married her sister. Now, that was before his now dead brother had married her. So the first one to come was the Isra of Achis Isha. So that's the Isra that remains. Whereas Khan, in the first Brisa, where he says the only Isra you're going to have is Eishas Ach, was that the dead brother married the sister first, and then the living brother, the Yavam, married the other sister. Now there, the first Isser, was the Isser of Eishas Ach, because before he married the sister, his brother had married that woman. That makes her forbidden, because it's his brother's wife. Now, therefore, you can't have any more the Isser of Achis Isha, after the Yavam marries the other sister, to be chal on that woman of his brother that just died, because Rav Shimon holds, Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Once you have a prohibition on something, then you can't add another Isser. It's already Asser. So depending on the order, it will be either one of the two, either Eishas Ach or Achis Isha, depending who got married first. But then the Gemara asks a technical question on Reb Shimon's version in the first Brisa. Reb Shimon, so Heche de Nosa Meis V'Achach Nosa Chai. So the way that we just described it, where if the first one to marry one of the sisters was the brother that just died, and then the one who is still alive, the Yavam. Now, based on your calculations that you said the only violation he's going to have is the Issa Eishas Ach, well then, even the Issa Achos Isha Lo Yechayel, once you're saying that the Isser, the Erva of his wife's sister, will not be Chal, because of Ein Issa Chal Isser, well then, Tisyam Yabumi. Then he should be able to do Yibum, because he died without any children. So the only Erva is Eishas Ach. Eishas Ach is permitted in a case of when there's no children. So now Rav Rashi says, Alumnus. That is, you have to look at it like this. Issa Achos Isha, the erva of his wife's sister, she is his wife's sister. Now, but it just can't be chal, it can't be acquired on her because she is already forbidden because it's his brother's wife. But that's mitlet tolibakai. That's like hanging, it's hovering in the air saying, okay, I want to make her usher with this, but I can't. She's anyways forbidden because of Eishas Ach. But ipaka isra Eishas Ach, if you're going to try removing the erva of his brother's wife through the heter of Yibum because he died without any children, well then, asi isra achis isha b'chayel. Then the erva of his wife's sister will then take effect. And the reason is that the whole reason why she's not considered achis isha, of course she's achis isha, she's his wife's sister, it's only because the first one to take effect was Eishas Ach. But of course the isra is going to be there. And therefore, since the Issa Achis Isha is ready and prepared to take an effect, so therefore, you're going to say that she is going to be exempt from Yibam. And V'Hilkach Le'Paka, that's why we can't remove the Issa Eishas Ach. Because if the moment you're going to try doing that, then boom, she's back Achis Isha. So you can't marry her for that reason. And that's why, although yes, the only Issa one will have violated if he has relations with that woman will be of Eishas Ach, not Achis Isha. But that's only because you can't visachal lissa. But if you try allowing it because of Yibum, then you remove Eishas Ach, so you're stuck anyways back then with Achis Isha. So either way, he can't go ahead and perform Yibum with her. Now the Gemara goes to the other mandama. Now the Gemara asks, Vesavar Reb Yosi, is it true that Reb Yosi, who, as recorded in the Braisa, argues on Reb Shimon? And he says, no, Yechayah for both. He obviously holds, as the Gemara says, Issachal lissa. That is, first of all, there's Issa Eishas Ach. She's his brother's wife, and she's also his wife's sister. And the Gemara asks, is that really true that he holds that? Bevotanya, learn the Brice that says, if someone violates the Isser, that would require him to be killed two times. In other words, if let's say he has relations with his mother-in-law, who's also married to a man, where there's two different punishments, two different deaths. One is for his mother-in-law, there's a punishment of sreifa, of being burnt. And the other one for being married woman is chenek, is strangulation. So that the Tanna Kamma says, nidin b'chamura. So obviously we can't kill him two times. So he gets the more stringent of the death, which means he gets the punishment of sreifa. Rabbi Yisrael, he argues, he agrees he can't kill him twice. But nidin b'zika harishen habolav, the punishment he gets is the first, this is not the zika to be confused with the zika of Yibum. It means to say the first thing that's pulling him to that she's an isser of a punishment of death to him. Now, B'tanya Linda Braisa, Ketzer Amar Biesi, how is this understanding of what Biesi said, that Nidon Bezika Rishon Abolav, that he'll be judged with the death that he'll get, will be from the first pulling of death of having relations with this woman. So the Braisa there explains, if she was first his mother-in-law, and only later did she become a married woman, meaning that she was a widow when he had married her daughter, well then nidin b'chamoisei. The first iser of death that he had to this woman was that she was his mother-in-law. So that's the punishment you get. You get sreifa. Eishes ish v'nas chamoisei. If she was first a married woman, and only later did she become his mother-in-law, well then nidin b'eishes ish. And then he gets the punishment of a married woman, and that is what we're basically arguing in the Tanna Kamma, even though that will be a more lenient punishment, that of chenek. Because that was the first erva of death that he had with her. Now, one thing that we see, however, from this brisa is that obviously Rabbi Yisi does not hold that the Isser of his mother-in-law will be Chal on the Isser of Eishes Ish. That is because if it would have been both Chal, you have first of all Eishes Ish, and then the second one to come was Chamoisei, well then why would Rabbi Yisi say that you only get the punishment of Eishes Ish of Chenek, because that was the first one that he was bound to, that was the first Isser he was encountering. If he holds Isser Chal al Isser, so then you have both. You have a punishment of Chenek and a punishment of Sreifa. So of course he should get the most stringent punishment. Obviously he doesn't hold Isser Chal al Isser. So how can he say over here in this Braisa, assumingly that you're Chayav for both of them? So that the Gemara continues on Amud Beis. Amar Bavo, he says, Moide Rabbi Yisi be'isser ma'isif. Rabbi Yisi agrees that we would say that an isser would be chal on an isser in what's called an isser ma'isif, which is an extensive isser, which is the case of our brisa that we discussed with Rabbi Yisi arguing Rabbi Shimon, as Rashi explains. For example, the isser of Eishes Ach, which is the case that we're talking about when we have two brothers married to two sisters, and you have, first of all, that it's his wife's sister, Isach Eishishtoi. Then you also have an Isser of Eishesach. That's what's called the Isser Maisav. And the reason is as follows. Originally, when this Yavam married one of the sisters, the other sister was still single. Now, she then becomes the Isabach Eishish. It's his wife's sister, his sister-in-law. But she's permitted to all his brothers because they're not related to them. Now, if one of the brothers marries the other sister, who we'll call in this case the mace, the one who ends up dying, then all the sisters of that family become usher to all the brothers because of Eishesach. It's now their brother's wife. Now, hence, there's two things that are happening. Regarding this woman, there's an added isser to all the brothers. There's two things. It's regarding her, and it's regarding all the brothers, because now that we just added on her Issa of Eishesach. Issa Eishesach makes her, not only was she until now forbidden to only this one brother who was married to, it was her brother-in-law, that it was Achay Sishtai, when his other brother marries her sister, so that creates in this woman, first of all, the one that he's marrying now, it makes her into this Eishesach. So it's adding an Isser to her, and it's not only adding Isser to her, it's adding it that now all the brothers, not just the one that was originally her brother-in-law, now all the other ones are brother-in-laws through her husband, is going to be forbidden on them too. Now that introduces a migui. A migui says that since you have one thing, you have another thing, and that is as follows. Since you now incorporated the Isser of Eishes Ach regarding all the other brothers, because that's the only thing they're becoming forbidden to her now, for the one who just died, it's that it's their brother's wife, who up until now she was permitted to them, so therefore migui, it could now also be acquired onto the yavam. That is, although up until now the yavam was forbidden on her because it was a sister-in-law, even when she was single, but now that when his brother married her, that made an Isser Eishes Ach, which is extensive in the sense that it's adding on to other people too. That Rabbi Yossi agrees you would say Isser Chalal Isser. Now, that's in contrast to, however, this last Brisa that we just quoted, where we saw clearly that Rabbi Yossi does not say Isser Chalal Isser. That's because when you have a married woman that then becomes his mother-in-law, originally she was forbidden to everybody in the world because she was a married woman, an Eishes Ish. Now, when this person then goes ahead and marries her daughter, this Isser is not going to now increase her to add other people being forbidden to her, to say that, oh, since it's chal on them, it should also be chal on him, because that's actually not the case. She's already forbidden to the whole world anyway. So that, Rabbi Yossi would agree, ain't Isser Chalal Isser, because that's not an Isser Moisiv, it's not adding more people. Now, as Rashi clarifies, however, the other way around, of if she was first his mother-in-law and then became a married woman, that obviously Taka would be considered Isser Moisiv, an extensive Isser, because originally she was forbidden only to her son-in-law. Then she became, but she was permitted to everyone else because she was a widow at that time. When she became a married woman, that Isser Eishes Ish now makes her Usser on everybody in the whole world. And then we would say a migui that it's Chal on them and the rest of the world. It would also be Chal to her son-in-law, this Isser Eishes Ish. However, that doesn't contradict the halach of Rabbi Yossi, where he says the only punishment you're going to get is for Chamoise, is the mother-in-law, is because we're talking about deaths. How are you going to be killed? Now, you can't get killed with two different deaths. And therefore, you're going to get the more stringent one. But however, the truth is that you really have both Isurin. It's just we're going to give you the more stringent one. But the truth is, if he does a Bishogig, then of course that case would make him liable for two Chatayis, one for his mother-in-law and one for Eishes Ish, because that would be a case of Isser Maisa. However, the other way around, when she was Eishes Ish, and then Isser Chamaisa, where there he says, oh, you're not going to get the most stringent one, why don't you say Isser Chal Isser? Because that's not a case of Isser Maisa. Whereas in contrast to the previous brisa that he argued in Reb Shimon, where he says you're going to get both punishments, that's because first she was only Achis Ishtai, that was only to him. When she became Eishes Ach, she became also to more people, that's Isser Moisiv, that's extensive, that will make migud that it's chal on them, that Isser, new Isser of Eishes Ach, will also be chal on him, and that's why he'll be punished for both of those. Now, however, the Gemara asks, that's a good answer. Tenach heichad nasechai. As we described, as we illustrated on Oman Aleph, when we said that there's two brises with Reb Shimon, we said there's two ways you could have both her being his brother's wife and his sister-in-law, meaning that it's his wife's sister. That's what our answer for Reb Yossi would work well. Where heichad nasechai, where the Yavam first married one of the sisters, thus making the other girl into achayis ishet, makes him into his wife's sister. Then v'achakach nosameis, and then the brother that now died, he married the other sister, who was originally, anyways, his sister-in-law. Second, where there we said, as we just explained, the Isser Eishes Ach could be chal, because it's making everybody usser. So then we could say, migadi taisev Isser. So since this Isser is being increased, it's extensive, it's adding on other people, this shame of Eishes Ach, because it's adding it on legabi achim to the brothers. So he taisiv is legabi de day, so I could understand that could add on the iser also to him, and then he could have both itzurim, as Rabbi Yossi said, of Eishes Ach and Achis Ishti. But alehecha de nasameis, but we're the first one to marry one of the sisters was the one who died ultimately, with the first iser that he encounters with this woman. Is it iser Eishes Ach? And only then, v'achkach nasechai, only then does the Yavim, who we call the living brother, marry the other sister. So my Isser Maisev Ikka, what Isser Maisev is there, what extensiveness is there regarding the first woman to the other brother, meaning to the Yavim, to say migui? There you don't have Isser Maisev. So how can we explain that part of Rabbi Yossi's argument, Rabbi Shimon, that you could always be chayim for Achis Ish and Eishes Ach? In that case, you don't have Isser Maisev, and you should say Ein Isser Chalal Isser, and you should only be liable for Eishes Ach. So then the Gemara entertains as follows. Now, b'chitem a migui, if you're going to say that it is a migui, and the migui is that since by when the Yavam does the second marriage, meaning when he marries the other sister, that then you'll say, oh, there is a migui there. What's the migui? That migui, the itzer, that it becomes forbidden on the Yavam. Bekula achvasa, there's something being added over here, because the sister-in-law is forbidden already. She's Eishes Achav. But the Gemara is saying that maybe there's something being extended here also to then say a migui that it's extending for that, it'll extend back to this woman also, because yes, once something's also Rabbi Yisrael, you can't make it forbidden, it's already forbidden. But we're saying once it's extended for other things, so that other shame isser could be chal, so then it could be chal even on the original thing also. So maybe here also you have an extension. What's the extension? Because since this Yavam, when he marries the other sister, he's extending the isser. In what way? The issur that he's creating now is not just for that sister-in-law who is anyways forbidden because of Eshazach, because he's now usher in all the sisters, meaning they all become, let's say it's a family of 10 girls. So, yes, his brother married one of them, and she's already forbidden to him of Eshazach. Now, when he marries the other sister, that woman's not the only one being forbidden for him now, which you say, Einesachal Isser, because you can't add on Achis Isha, because all the sister-in-laws become forbidden of Achais Isha, which up until now she was the only one also because of Eish HaSach, where up until now they were permitted. So now maybe you should say the same type of Amigui. That is, because now that the Isra Achais Isha is Chal on all the other sisters, maybe it should also be Chal on her too. So therefore, that would be the understanding of why you chayva both. And that the Gemara says, no, because that's not called an Isra Maisaf, which would then be creating something added to that original woman, meaning what we're calling the Yavama, meaning the one who was first married, that was the one married to the one who's dead now, because that's what's called Isser Kailalo. That's an inclusive Isser, meaning that's including the first woman who was married to his brother, that this Isra Chais Isha, which since it's being Chal on the other sisters, we want to say that she's included in that. But it's not extending. Now, Rashi clarifies the difference between Isser Maisiv and Isser Kail, where we only find Rabbi Yitzchak says it by Isser Maisiv, but he wouldn't say it by Isser Kail. An Isser Maisiv is that when the Isser that's here already is extending to other people, meaning we would call it the Gavra, the person. So if you have something that's Usser, which is Usser to one person, Isser Maisiv is saying that now it's going to be Usser to other people too. That Rabbi Yisi holds that you say Isser Chal Lissa. But Isser Kail is when that Isser that's Usser to one person is not being forbidden on more people, rather that's going to be Usser onto other pieces too, which then we say, oh, since it's on other pieces, that should include the original piece too, which we would call, let's say, the Chefts, it's on the object, that's the center. But no more people are becoming Usser, that's Isser Kail. That Rabbi Yisi never said that Isser Chal Lissa, and therefore back to the question. If we're resolving part of it, because Rabbi Yisi agrees, he'll say Isser Chal Lissa by Isser Maisiv, but he doesn't say it by Isser Kail, and so therefore, how do we understand in the previous brayse we argue on Rabbi Shimon in the case of where first the one who died now married first, which created Eish HaSach first, and then the Yavam married the other sister, creating a Chais Isha, that's not Isser Maisiv, it's not extending it to anybody else, and therefore you shouldn't say Isser Chal Lissa. So Elam Rava, rather Rava gives a totally different approach. He says, you're right. Rabbi Yisi holds that ain Isser Chal Lissa. Like the last brisa said, whichever one came first, Eishes Ish or Chamaisa, that's going to be the one that you get the death penalty for. Now, however, this that he said before, and he argued in Rabbi Shimon, that you can be liable for both Eishes Ach and Achis Isha, it's not in reference to like a punishment regarding when you do it b'shoigig to say that you're going to be liable for two chatois, because you're only liable for the first Issa that there was. Rather, it's talking about when the person who had this relations with his brother's wife, who was also his sister-in-law, where he did it deliberately, thus making him a full-fledged wicked person. As Rava says, Mali ani alav kilo asesh taim, I will consider it as if he violated both Isurim. But obviously in punishments we don't view it because ein Yisachal Lisser. And therefore, you're right, ve'ein achayev alachas, you'll only be liable for one of them, but I'll view it as if he violated both, because really, intrinsically, she's both. He also said the same teretz. He says, "Malni ani alav kilo asa beis ve'ne chayv alachas." We'll consider it as if, meaning when Rabbi Yisrael said that you're violating both, it doesn't mean in punishment. Really, you'll only have one because he holds in his chalasa. But we'll view it as if it was both. So the Gemara asks, "My nafkamina, if it's not for punishment, so what's this that we'll view it as if it's both?" So that the Gemara answers, the difference is lekavri ben rishem gemur. It's regarding that you bury him amongst the fully wicked people. Now, that is, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Sanhedrin, a wicked person is buried next to wicked people. Now, actually, there were two cemeteries that Bezin had prepared for different levels. There was different levels of wicked people. There was one cemetery for those that were only killed by the sword or for those that were strangulated. They were the lesser wicked people. Then there was one for the more wicked people, for those that were stoned and for those that were burnt. Now, therefore, how Rava is explaining what Rabbi Yossi meant to say was that even though this person is not from the Chiv and Mises Bezdin, but since in this one act he violated both Arayas, we bury him with the fully wicked people, by those who get Skila and get Sreifa, or like Taisa says, that what it means to say is that we measure everyone according to how wicked they are. So if it would be only like one Issa like Reb Shimon, so you wouldn't be that wicked. But you did both, so you're right in punishments, we say Ines Chalissa. But ultimately you violated two Arayis in this one act, we consider you even more wicked, and you get buried with the more wicked people. That's what Reb Yisu was saying. But in Halacha, in punishment, it's going to be, as he said in the last Braisa, of Ein Iser Chalissa, you only get the Misa of the lesser Mises. Now, however, the Gemara continues regarding this discussion that we introduced about Isser Koil, that we said that Reb Yisi does not agree to that. He only says in the first interpretation of the Gemara that to Isser Moisiv, but not Isser Koil, the Gemara actually says Uba Plukta. It seems to be that it's a machloikis if we say Isser Koil, meaning that an inclusive Isser, which would include more objects for that person being Usser, would we make the original object that he was Usser on to have it to Isser? Or not, that's actually a machlekes, which this Gemara will conclude on Amud Beis of the coming daf, on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. But the Gemara introduces the following discussion. The Gemara will introduce three machlekes in between Reb Chiya and Bar Kapara, which then the Gemara on the coming daf will try to entertain that being a machlekes in Issa Koil. Didma, like we learned. First machlekes. Zar Shashimish B'Shabbos. A non-Koyin who does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. He says, Chayiv Shtayim, you're liable for two Isurim. Now Rashi explains that what Reb Chiya is saying is that you're liable for two Isurim, not regarding punishments of having, let's say, two Chatois, because actually the violation of being a Zar and doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban Chatas. Because actually, when you deliberately do the Avodah, if you're not going to the Beis HaMikdash, you only get Misa B'Dei Shemayim by the hands of heaven, and the Chiv Chatas is only if you have Karas. So actually, it's only Isurim that we're talking about, but not for Karma Chatas. So one is for being a non-Kohen doing the Avodah, and the other one is because of Chil Shabbos. Because if you're not a Kohen, the Avodahs are violating Lama Tes Melachas, only Kohanim could do that. Bar Kapara Emer, he says, in Chayav Alachas, no, you're only liable for one Isur. That's the Isur of Zaris, of being a non-Kohen doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but not for Shabbos. So Kavetz, Reb Chiya v'Nishba, Reb Chiya, who said that you're liable for both, jumped up and he swore. He says, Avoida, which is a term of an oath, I swear by the service. Kach Shemata B'Rabbi, this is what I heard from Rabbein HaKodesh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that's time, that you're going to be liable for two Isurim. Now Kavetz Bar Kapar v'Nishba, Bar Kapar jumped up and he swore. Says, Avoida, Kach Shemata B'Rabbi, this is what I heard from Rabbi, that Achaz, you're only liable for one. So Hischa Reb Chiya Lodin. So Reb Chiya started calculating to show that you'll be liable for both. He said as follows, Shabbos l'chol nesra, the lamates malachas, doing malachas on Shabbos, is forbidden to every Jew. Kishahutra b'mikdash, when it was permitted to do malachas in the Beis HaMikdash, even though they're slaughtering, doing all these malachas, it's a kahanim hutra. That was only permitted for the kahanim. Now that means the kahanim hutra, b'lo lezarim, is permitted for kahanim, and not for non-kahanim. So yesh kamishim zaras, v'yesh kamishim Shabbos. So when a non-kohen does the avodah on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, he's a non-kohen doing the avodah, he's liable for zaras, and he's also doing chilul Shabbos because he never had the heter of doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Hischol Bar Kapara Lodin. So Bar Kapara started calculating, and he said as follows: No, Shabbos l'kol nesra. You're right. Shabbos was forbidden for everybody. Now keshehutra b'mikdash hutra. When it was permitted in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning stam, meaning even without attributing it to a single person, avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is permitted. Now, in kan elazaris, the only problem this person is doing is not that he's doing chilul Shabbos, because avodah is permitted. The only thing is, he's not eligible to do the avodah. Oh, so that's a different issur. That's an issur of being a non-kohen. But there's no issur of doing avodah because it's in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's permitted on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara brings a second similar machlokes. Balmum shashimish betumah. A blemish kohen, who's not allowed to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. Now, as Rashi explains, we're talking about that it's a Korban Tzibur. A Korban Tzibur is a Korban that's, let's say, by a Korban Tumid that is brought every single day, which when the majority of the people are Tumay, it actually overrides the problem of Tumah. And this is similar to the discussion of a Zar that was Shemesh B'Shabbos, where there it's permitted to do the Avodah on Shabbos. It's just that the fact that he's not valid to do the Avodah because he's a Tzar, so that makes it problematic that he's doing the Avodah on Shabbos. So therefore, here you have the problem of Tumma, because not only do you have the problem of a Baal Mum, who can't do the Avodah, you also have the problem of Tumma, which is, it's warned in the Torah, but you're not allowed to do the Avodah in the state of Tumma. You could do it if you're a Kohen, that's eligible when the majority of people are Tameh for a Karban Tzibah, but he's not eligible. So you have both problems. You have a problem of doing the Avodah in the state of Tumma, and you have a problem of that he's a Baal Mum doing the Avodah. So Reb Chiya Omer, he says, Chayev Shtam, he says, you're liable for both. Barakaparim, and Chayev Alach, he says, no, you're liable for one, that is a Baal Mum, but not for that of Tumma. Sakavas, Reb Chiya Benishba, Reb Chiya jumped up and he swore, he says, Avodah Kach Shematim Rebbe Shtam, you're liable for both, I heard from Rebbe. Kavats Barakapar Benishba, he jumped, he says, no, Avodah Kach Shematim Rebbe Ach, he says, I heard from Rebbe, that's only one. So Hesch Reb Chiya Le'adim, so Reb Chiya started calculating and trying to prove his point. He says, look, Tumma Lachol Nasr, doing the Avodah in the state of Tumma is forbidden to everybody. Now, Kashahucha ben Mikdash, when it was permitted in the base of Mikdash, meaning when the majority of the people are Tame, was only Eitzel Kahanim Tamim Hucha. It was only permitted by Kahanim that are not blemished, who they're fit to do the Avodah. And that is, why is Tumah permitted then? That's as we learn in Masechet Pesachim, where it says Bimay Adoy, which says that you could even do it in a state of Tumah. But that's Kahanim Tamim Hucha. That's only permitted if you're a non-blemished Kohen. But v'loy l'balei mumen, they never had the heter of doing the avodah in the state of Tumah, then you still have the original iser of doing the avodah in the state of Tumah. So yesh kemishum balei mumen, v'yesh kemishum Tumah, so you have both isurim. You're both a balei mumen who is not allowed to do the avodah, and you're also doing it in a state of Tumah that's not permitted for you because you're not a bal, you're not a kohen tum. But hiskel bar kapara ladin, bar kapara counted and he started calculating. He says, no, Tumah l'kol nesra, Tumah was forbidden for everybody to do the avodah. When it was permitted in the base of Mikdash. You're doing the Avodah, that's permitted if the majority of the people are Tame. So the only issue you have is that he's blemished. If he wasn't blemished, he would be permitted to do the Avodah and moreover, even the state of Tumah. So his only problem is that of being a Baal Mum. Now the Gemara brings a third similar machlokes. Zar she'ochel malika, a non-Kohen who eats the malika of Kahanim. That is, there are certain karbanas, specifically chatas ha'ayv, that wasn't slaughtered properly, which is generally that it permits food to be eaten. It was done with the kohen's thumb. He had a big fingernail that went through the nape, through the back of the bird. That severed the head, and then they would eat it in that case. So Reb Chiya Omer says, chayev shtayim. This non-kohen who eats that is liable for two isurim. One is that he's a non-kohen, and one is because it's nevela, because it wasn't slaughtered. It was done through the malika, through the severing with the thumb of the kohen. Now, the iser of zaris is because a carbon can only be eaten to kahanim. A non-kohen who eats it is oiv on the iser of bezal lo yochel ki kaidushem. And moreover, he's also oiv on the iser of nevela, because since you're not a kohen and you can't eat it, you're eating something that's non-kosher. Now, Rashi just clarifies, he says that this iser of the non-kohen eating kachim is not the same iser as me'ila, which is to have hanaf from something that's kachim, is because anything that's permitted for kam to eat, which is what this chatas ha'if is, there's no me'ila. It's only for something that's purely kaidish. Reb Chiya says, you chayav for both. Bakapar oimer, and chayav alachas, you're only liable for one by the fact that he's a non-kohen eating kachim. So that covers Reb Chiya b'nishba. Reb Chiya jumped up and he swore. He says, avoid the kach shemad Rebbe shtam, I heard from Rebbe that it's both. Covers bakapar v'nishba, he says, avoid the kach shemad Rebbe achas, I heard that it's only one. So his Reb Chiya Lod, Reb Chiya started calculating. He says, look, nevela chol nesr, a carcass, a bird that was not slaughtered properly, is forbidden to everybody. Now, kashahucha b'mikdash, when such a bird was permitted in the temple, it was only itzel kahanim hucha. It was only permitted for kahanim when it's a chatas ha'if, it's a bird chatas. That is l'kahanim hucha v'loy l'zom, that was only permitted for kahanim, but not for non-kahanim. So yeshka mishum zaris, yeshka mishum malika. So there's two problems. He's a non-kohen eating kachim, and he's also eating something that was maluk, that was not slaughtered properly, which is nevela. Now hischa bakapar ladin. Bakapar started calculating. He says, no. Nevela l'kol nesra. Nevela was forbidden to everybody. Kesha hucha b'mikdash hucha. When it was permitted in the base of Mikdash, it was totally permitted in the base of Mikdash. Now, therefore, when this non-kohen eats it, he's not eating an Isra Nevela, because that's not Nevela in the base of Mikdash. The only problem is, in Kanel Mishum Zaris, the only problem is that he's a non-Kohen. So yes, he's going to be violating the Isra of a non-Kohen eating Kachim, but this object that he's eating is permitted in the base of Mikdash, and therefore there's only going to be one Isra and not two Isurim. And the Gemara on the next daf will conclude this discussion that the Gemara will try to show, and the Gemara will have two interpretations, that if this machlekes between Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara is this machlekes that we had mentioned regarding Isser Koil, where if you have one object that's already forbidden to one person, and then not adding more people, but that one person will be forbidden to other objects for a different reason, which that one of those objects is the originally prohibited object, if that new Isser will then, yes, be Chal on that original object, because it's inclusive in the Isser that's now being Chal on other objects too.